All right, what are we waiting for? Come on, let's go. Let's just do it. Let's just do it.
Yeah, we should probably just do it.
Juan Carlos, just before Kimberly just gets, you know, Indiana. Sorry. Hey, everybody, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, making today make sense as best we can.
We hope. I'm Kimberly Adams. Thank you for joining us this Thursday. I hope you will forgive if you hear thunder and noises behind me. I'm in Missouri, and it's typical St. Louis weather.
It is tornado season, which I learned today. That's just, wow. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. But I am in a safe place to record, and I'm going to, you know, shut down if I need to. But we're going to do some news, and then we're going to wrap some things up with Make Me Smiles. So let's start with the news.
Let's start. I'll go first because yours. I've got some addendums to yours too, actually. Okay. So I've got two, one of which is an observation and one of which is actually substantive. So number one, I just want to talk about this baby formula shortage for a second. First of all, it's horrible that it's happening. It's absolutely unforgivable that the regulatory situation and the tariff situation in this economy is the way it is, that this has been allowed to come to pass. And let me just say that my firstborn son, who is now 20, he's going to be 24, he would not be around. I'm saying this chuckling, but he would not be around if we didn't have baby formula, because breastfeeding is ridiculously difficult. And that's something that nobody tells you when you become a parent. It's crazy hard. And it's really hard to know when the kid's not getting the nourishment, when you're not rested, when it looks like it's going fine, when, you know, near as you can tell, the diapers are full, but the pediatrician says, oh, no, that's actually something else, and it's not pee, and you're like, oh, my God, what? Anyway, all of that as preface for saying this. I noticed that yesterday President Biden invoked the Defense Production Act to oblige baby formula makers to prioritize the making of that formula and inputs to that formula to be prioritized, which is great. Mm-hmm. But there is an increasing reliance. We saw it during the pandemic with PPE, right? There's an increasing reliance on just waving the Defense Production Act around and saying, oh, we can fix this by executive order. Instead of fixing the structural problems in this economy, like tariffs of up to 17% on baby formula, on regulations that generally prevent, until there's an emergency like now, the import of baby formula from countries who meet U.S. standards, or trade agreements like the USMCA, which discourages Canada from exporting its baby formula to this country, the DPA is not a substitute for that. And I think we just need to be aware of that.
Yes,
go ahead.
But I find it very interesting that you often hear like complaints about, you know, so for example, you had Abbott that makes, you know, one of the major makers of baby formula that shut down because of health code violations or whatever the violation was, and the FDA had to get involved. We chronically underfund the agencies rely on to keep us safe. You can make the same argument for the IRS. And then IRS, we also blame the same said agencies when something goes wrong. One could make an argument that were the FDA and all these other agencies properly funded and staffed, this issue would have been caught sooner and resolved more quickly with proper oversight to have stopped the shortage in the first place.
I agree 100%. And what's happening now is actually a choice, right? Because Congress has decided to underfund the FDA and underfund the IRS and all of those organizations. I completely agree.
Yeah. And so, like, I think it's dumb to use a Defense Production Act as a shortcut, but sort of the way that the government uses executive orders when Congress won't address an issue, you don't. Yep. Go through the process that was created to solve an issue. So instead, you end up with a shortcut when there's a crisis. And that's what I feel like this is. But anyway.
Yeah, I agree. And it's a failure of our legislative branch. I totally agree. Me piling on Congress again. Anyway, so that's news item number one for me, an observation, I suppose. The actual data point news item that I want to bring up is a report this morning from the National Association of Realtors saying that existing home sales, I always like to call them used homes because, you know, they're not existing cars, they're used cars. Anyway, as existing home sales were down 2.5% in April, 2.4% in April from March, right? And March sales were down 5.9% April sales were down 5.9% from a year earlier. And the reason I bring that up is because of a larger thing that I talked about on Marketplace this afternoon, which is this. Inflation now and prices now and consumer behavior now are doing what is supposed to be happening in this economy, right? As prices get too high, consumers stop buying. As mortgages get more expensive, consumers stop buying. As money in this economy gets more expensive, thank you, Jay Powell, consumers and businesses will stop borrowing and thus stop spending. That is what is supposed to be happening. It's a slowdown, and we don't know yet whether it's going to be a soft slowdown or a hard slowdown, but this is what is supposed to be happening. And I just need everybody to bear that in mind as the next couple of months, honestly, and maybe a year, are going to be kind of bumpy.
What does bumpy mean?
Well, look, I think inflation is going to remain high at least through the end of this year. I think consumer demand is going to be not destroyed, but certainly curtailed with energy and gasoline prices. It cost me $6.29 to fill up my minivan the other day per gallon.
Wow.
And so, you know, I'm not driving as much as I used to. Demand will be destroyed, which is what is supposed to happen as prices get too high, and that's going to cool the economy, and then eventually prices will get normal. It's going to be at least another 8 months or a year. Go ahead, sorry.
Small businesses selling less stuff.
Yeah.
More sales when fewer people are buying things.
Yep. Here's another one, and this is a little weedy, but first-time claims for unemployment benefits went up last week for the first time since January, right? Remember, this is an indicator that we don't usually pay a whole lot of attention to didn't usually pay a lot of attention to in the before times, because it's notoriously volatile, right? It moves week to week, and when you're dealing with a $23 trillion economy or whatever, week-to-week numbers can be misleading, but in the pandemic, we had 16 million people making first-time claims for unemployment benefits in April and May, right? And that was really, really bad. So now it's down quite a bit, and down to where it was, but it's ticking up again. And here's the deal. That is what is supposed to be happening. Jay Powell has said explicitly we need to take a little bit of heat out of the labor market because wages are too high and there are too many, not too high. Wages are going up a lot, and that is helping inflation. And also, there are too many job openings, and we need to cool things down. And so that's what's happening. And it's supposed to be happening. There you go.
Right. Okay.
There you go. Okay. Okay.
All right. Mine are all about Ukraine. And I'll just tick through the three of them because they're all kind of related. First of all, yet another extraordinary story from the Associated Press. They were the last team to leave Mariupol before the Russians took over that area. And as part of their exit in a rare sort of humanitarian convoy, they smuggled out a memory card given to them by a Ukrainian medic whose name, I'm probably going to, get her name wrong, but I believe it's pronounced Tara, T-A-I-R-A. And it's a nickname that she actually chose in the World of Warcraft video game. Her name on here is, she's a famous gamer who is also a medic.
That's great.
But her name is Yulia Paiveska. I'm so sorry, but I don't speak Ukrainian.
We'll give it to you.
The important thing is this woman received a sort of body cam to help shoot a documentary. I believe it was from Netflix. However, when the Russians invaded, she started using that body cam to record video of her treating wounded Ukrainian civilians, soldiers, some Russian soldiers. And it's extremely compelling and painful footage. And you can just sort of see how bad things were, before the Russians fully took over that area. She has since been captured by the Russians and is one of, as the Associated Press says, one of many forced disappearances. She's been put television and forced to read statements. And nobody really knows where she is or what happened to her. But as one of the last things that she did before she was captured, is she made sure this Associated Press team got this memory card, which was smuggled out in a tampon to get through the 15 Russian checkpoints that the team had to get through in order to get out.
Oh, wow.
really powerful reporting, really powerful care. And it just sort of, they draw this comparison in the piece, but it's similar to sort of the work of the white hats in Syria, these medics mm-hmm. that are just operating under mm-hmm. the worst conditions and then often targeted for it. So I would mm-hmm. encourage everyone to look at it. Some of the videos hard to watch, as you can imagine. And that is that story. And that has me looking at a piece that's in The Guardian. They started war crimes trials already in Ukraine for some of the Russian soldiers who have been accused of, you know, war crimes. There's a 21-year-old tank commander who pled guilty to killing an unarmed 62-year-old civilian. And this story talks about the case and you know, how it was brought in this situation. He pled guilty and he asked the man's widow to forgive him. And he acknowledged what he had done. And, you know, the woman is devastated, of course, but she's saying that she would accept him being used as a prisoner exchange to get other Ukrainian soldiers back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just, I found it pretty astonishing that this trial had gone through so quickly. And that, you know, this young man acknowledged what he had done. And war does things to people and makes people do things that, you know, you would never want to imagine. Mm-hmm. You know, this young man, you know, was talking about, you know, that he's the eldest in his family of the kids. And, you know, anyway, it's awful. Last thing is that the Senate has passed an additional $40 billion mm-hmm. in aid to Ukraine. It was one of those things that had bipartisan support. It looks like Biden's probably going to sign it. It also, part of this package is just sort of a sort of nod to the U.S. support of NATO and expanding it. And the U.S. is trying to speed up the admission of Finland and Sweden to NATO, although Turkey seems to be getting in the way of that. And so those are all of my Ukraine stories. It's a lot, no, but just worth keeping in mind that this is still going on. It's still really bad.
Yeah, just super quick on the Ukraine thing. There's a story on the front page of the New York Times, or the website of the New York Times, from their visual investigations team, showing those not showing the actual executions, but the prelude to the executions in Bucha. You should check that out. It's crazy chilling. Crazy chilling. And I think it's a really good point, actually, that you reminded everybody that this is still going on, because it's easy for us to just get subsumed by other things, and it's real, and it's happening.
Well, and numbed, honestly. It's hard mm-hmm, to mm-hmm, mm-hmm. keep hearing and to keep caring, and especially if you're a person who like cares about humanity, you know, it's hard to absorb all of this stuff, which is really bad and really painful, and, you know, keep your sense of self. So I just urge everybody to, you know, do some self-care and, you know, step back when you need to, but recognize that you can hold all different types of grief, but also choose to put it down for a bit so that you can maintain your mental health if that's what you need to do, and still be a caring human. So that's all.
So,
yeah.
All right, let's move on, shall we?
Yeah.
I believe we shall. All right. This is the part where I confess that nothing made me smile today. I'm not cranky. I'm not grumpy. I just, nothing did it for me. So I got nothing. I have no input in this segment today.
May I just add that I'm under an actual tornado warning and still found a way to find a make me smile today.
Oh, fine.
And I actually thought of you when I found it, because it's about beer.
I know. I saw it. It's great. I love it.
This is yet another AP story proving they can do all things. I'm just going to read the top line. A small brewery in Finland has launched a NATO-themed beer to mark the Nordic country's bid to join the Western Military Alliance. Olaf Brewing's Otan Lager features a blue label with a cartoon version of a beer-drinking medieval knight in metal armor emblazoned with NATO's compass symbol.
Boom.
The beer's name is a play on the Finnish expression Otan Oluta, which means I'll have a beer, and the French abbreviation for NATO, which is Otan.
Done. Sold.
I'm sure.
It's like those drawings that Audie Norman did of you and me. We're sort of like, you know, medieval knight looking with the greaves and all
that. Yes.
Yes. See, I learned. I learned.
Yes, right? With the greaves and the gauntlets.
With the greaves.
Vim braces. And now we know. The things.
And now we know. All right. So now that you know that Kimberly and I are doing a little fanfic on, you know, medieval knights or whatever, very quick turn to remind you of this. It is still fundraising season. What can I tell you? It's still fundraising season. We have been daily with the show now for 2 years, which is crazy. And the truth is, and this is actually true, and I will deny it if anybody repeats it to anybody else outside this podcast team, but the Make Me Smart listeners are some of the best and most dedicated listeners we have at Marketplace, full stop. That includes my show, that includes tech, that includes the Morning Report, includes everything. You send us your questions, you interact with us, you share your thoughts and your stories, and sometimes, you know, troubles and problems that are happening, and we really value that. And we value that you help us out when we ask you to help us out, because that matters too.
It does. And it's heavy. I mean, Make Me Smart went daily because there was just so much going on in the COVID pandemic and in politics and in our country, and it hasn't eased up. And the thing that allows us to continue this show daily is your support. And, you know, staying on the beer theme, of course, you know, that $7 a month gets you the brand new and improved Kai PA glass.
Yeah, bye.
And, you know, just because I need in my heart to outdo Kai, for $10 a month, $3 more, you can get that Jasper wine tumbler, which everybody knows is super cute. But we have gifts at every level. And anything you can give, really, we'd be very grateful and appreciative, because we need you. So marketplace.org/givesmart. That's where you can go.
And now we got to go. I'm back tomorrow, Economics on Tap, with the one and only Amy Scott. We'll have a drink. I don't know what Amy's going to have. I'm going to have a beer. We'll talk about the news, play a game. And we'll be on YouTube, because, you know, video is everything now. You can join us 3:30 afternoon in the afternoon in Pacific time. I'm going to get fired. 6:30 in the evening Eastern time. But hey, what else?
5:30 Central, where I am right now.
That's right.
Yes. So feel free to tell folks to join us on the YouTube live stream. If they've never decided to hang out, you know, invite them for the cocktail hour. Even though I can't make it, I will be drinking with other folks at St. Louis Public Radio. Looking forward to it, because they're having their 50th anniversary gala.
Oh, good.
So that should be a lot of fun.
That's great. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Really looking forward to it. And so, yes. Meanwhile, please keep sending us your thoughts or questions. Our email is makemesmart@marketplace.org, or you can leave us a message at 508-UB-SMART.
Are you the featured attraction in St. Louis Public Radio tomorrow evening?
Not even. I just showed up. Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera, with help from our intern, Tiffany Bowie. Today's episode was engineered by Juan Carlos Dorado.
Well, you ought to be. That's all I'm saying. Bridget Bodner is the senior producer. The director of On Demand is Donna Tam. Donna.
So we need to talk about what your understanding of fanfic is.